Hey, plant friend, quick announcement at the top of the show. I wanted to let you know I'm offering two different free online classes that are 45 minutes each that are designed to help you get the most out of your spring this year. I want spring and summer 2025 to be your best houseplant growth seasons yet. And the way that you'll sign up for these classes, which are completely free, is by going to growingjoywithmaria.com/class. There's two options. The first up is the Spring Houseplant Boost. Supercharge your plant growth in three simple steps. And this is a 45-minute class all about how to utilize spring to set your plants up for insane growth this year. And then the second class is called The Ultimate Guide to Moving Indoor Plants Outside and Three Mistakes to Avoid. A lot of people move their plants outside in the spring, which is fabulous, but there are massive mistakes you can do that can result in some pretty bad stuff. So this class is going to go over how to do that. If you're interested in either classes or both classes, you can go register for free, completely free. Each class is 45 minutes at growingjoywithmaria.com/class. That's growingjoywithmaria.com/class. I cannot wait to hang out with you live and share my tips. Grief is heavy. It can feel like an impossible weight to carry. But what if healing could start with something as simple as a seed? Plants don't rush, they don't demand, they just grow little by little, day by day, and in their quiet resilience, they remind us that we can too. In today's episode, we're exploring how the act of caring for plants can help us process loss, find comfort, and reconnect with life, one leaf, one root, one moment at a time. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. If you're new here, welcome. So excited to meet you. And if you are a returning guest, returning listener, welcome home. What a privilege it is to be a part of your plant parenthood journey. Today is a very special episode. It's a conversation with my plant friend, Wade. You might know him on Instagram or online as Plants by Wade Lee, who has suffered a tragic loss in his life, the passing of his husband, Stephen, to pancreatic cancer a couple of years ago. And Wade found solace and healing in the nurturing presence of his plants. It's a really interesting journey about how plants helped him heal, helped him cope, and his journey led him to becoming a full-time plant parent, establishing Plants by Wade Lee, which is a podcast and plant consulting, and he's even a full-time gardener. So today, Wade opens up about his grief journey and how plants played an integral part in his healing. Wade, I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
First, just have to say, like, I'm so proud of you. We've been plant friends now for, I don't know, has it been 2 years, 3 years?
2 years, yeah, at least 2 years.
Yeah, and I just feel like you've come onto the plant scene with such authenticity and curiosity and excitement, and you're so supportive and so well-loved in the community, and what you've built is so amazing, and you're scrappy, and you're selling plants, and you're doing this, and you've got a podcast, and you're... It's just been so fun to watch you grow. So it's so great. 2 years having been friends to have you on today for this interview.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have to say that I've been so inspired by you. And I, even starting my little podcast, I, you know, was a listener to you driving back and forth my 45-minute commute as a hairdresser when I was still doing hair, which is crazy that I don't do hair anymore. But I really, you know, connected to what you say about plant metaphors and just how, you know, growing joy with plants really grows joy within your own life. And I just felt such a kindred spirit. So I just want to share this off screen many, many times, but I am just very thankful for our friendship.
Oh, I'm so thankful too. And I know you don't cut hair anymore, but like, and I know I've said this to you before, but I'm manifesting one day that you cut my hair. I find most hairstylists are very spiritual and it's like therapeutic. And for me, particularly with my hair, it's like a very therapeutic, emotional thing. And so I'm like, oh my God, I bet Wade would give me such a good haircut.
I would, because I love curly hair.
I know. I'm on a new curly girl journey now that I live in Florida with all this humidity. So I need all your insight. But anyway, yeah. We're not here to talk about hair, even though I could talk to you about my hair for the next 25 minutes. So you mentioned you were a hairdresser. Like you were this other person before Plants by Wade Lee. So what has your journey with plants looked like before even the creation of your Instagram account? Like how did you come to them and how did they kind of guide you to become the plants man that you are today?
Yeah. Well, before I fell in love with plants, I was a fashion hairstylist in New York City. I had met a gentleman named Steven Schulman, who became my best friend and my biggest cheerleader. And then my husband, we got married in St. Augustine, Florida. And that's where my connection to Florida begins. And I always use social media to promote my business as a hairdresser. So I was very savvy from the beginning of YouTube. I think I read or saw on the news that Google had bought YouTube and any YouTube video would rank highest on the Google searches because they had just purchased it. And I thought, aha. So I started making these videos of, you know, the everyday next door girl and give them a Prada inspired look and haircut. And I would do these videos.
Wait, do these videos still exist? I need to watch these videos.
Ah, so many I have like like private.
Oh, really?
Some of them are just like, but I mean, I grew a pretty big following. My professional hair Instagram was 20,000 people.
Wow.
So like, So it was fun to create. So I always had that in the background. And so then coming to my plant journey, I had gotten married in St. Augustine, Florida to Steven. He grew up in Jacksonville and I was in charge of the flowers. That's another thing that I was fascinated about in New York. Every little park that we went to, you know, Elizabeth Street Park was my favorite park. Mm. And I would always take pictures of flowers. And so I kind of said to Steven, you know, I kind of want to be in charge of the flowers. Well, like Wade, just
full send.
Just like I would be the biggest procrastinator I am. I get to Florida the day before the wedding. I have no plan for flowers. So
I go
to this nursery. I buy all of these plants. I get these beautiful, delicate white flowers and plant them in little pots on all the tables. And Leonardi's became like just such a special place to me. So I always remembered that nursery. And, you know, it's a Florida nursery. So it's a complete jungle in there. It's and not even curated, I don't think. There's so many plants that it just looks like such an amazing jungle space. So Steven and I go back to New York and hustle. I'm doing the Met Gala and, you know, I just done Italian Vogue, the cover of beauty piece for Italian Vogue. And Steven started complaining about a pain in his stomach. And I was just like, we went to emergency room after emergency room. And they were like, you're dehydrated. You have kidney stones. And then one day I just kind of broke. And I said, no. We need to really figure out. There's something seriously going on with this poor man. This is the sixth time we've been to the emergency room. And later on that night, they had said, there is something that we see a mass of some sort. We're going to send you to the hospital. And within 48 hours, we knew that something was very, very, very serious. And then come to find out he had stage 3 pancreatic cancer at 40 years old, just so young to be getting this. But that we're seeing that younger and younger people are getting pancreatic cancer. It's so rare. And it's so hard to test because the pancreas sits behind our stomach. So when they do x-rays and stuff, it's very, very hard to see. So fast forward, I'm a full-time caregiver as well as trying to do fashion and hair. And then the pandemic hits and everything is just turned upside down. And Stephen has such a very loving and supporting family. And his mom would come at least once a month. And now, you know, there's a travel ban because of COVID. I had said, you know, I think it's time that we move to Florida. And so we did the big trek and got rid of a lot of stuff. And our Stephen, I think, had lived in his apartment, the apartment we lived in for 17 years, which is crazy.
Whoa.
But it was a rent-stabilized apartment in Chelsea, you know. I mean, yeah, I lived there and then worked in Union Square. So it was a walk, you know, a walk to work every day. It was very, very cool.
My God, the New York City dream.
Yeah, to say the least. So his best friend, who's now become my best friend as well, rented a van. We drove to Florida and made the trek to move. And on the last day that Megan was there before she took the rental van back to the airport, she was like, wait, is there any place that you'd like to go before I take this van? Because I didn't have my license because I lived in New York, and I didn't have a car, obviously.
Okay.
And I said, oh, yeah, Leonardi's. Like, I'd like to go to that nursery. And I bought my first 8 plants, one being a bird nest fern that I had no idea. And I also had 2 cats, and I had no idea that the cats loved plants as much as I did feed them up. So only a few of those plants survived the first few days because the cats were trying to eat them. But that was something new I learned about my cats. But those 8 plants quickly became, you know, 100, 150. And as Stephen was actively dying, they really became my lifeline. And we would have special moments where even his weak, fragile body, he'd walk out there and just sit with me with the plants. It was just such a special thing. And while Stephen, cancer is such it flips your life upside down, and you are spending numerous nights in the hospital and you see no light in the distance because you know that, and you know, so many times that with something as severe as this, that, you know, the end result is your life's going to be taken away at some point. So to ease that pain and the reality of that, I would do little craft projects, and I would get terracotta pots, and me and Stephen would like spend hours painting these pots. So it was such a special remembrance and honor of like still sitting in that garden after Stevie passed away, that all of those pots, and I still have many of those pots in my parents' collection, and shared them with other family and friends because I didn't know at the moment how much these beautifully painted pots would mean to me. You know, it'd be such a keepsake. And, you know, Stephen as well, right before he passed away, he got into the whole idea that I had all of these plants and like bought hundreds of dollars worth of different plant supplies and soil. And I would just, even after he passed away, there was like packages coming, and I'd be like, here's a case of soil. Like, what did he do? Like, he just purchased these things for me.
Wait, he bought you soil that arrived?
Yes.
After he had passed?
Well, you know, and it arrived at, yeah, like the week before he passed away, he was just wanting to buy everyone gifts. And I was helping him too. But I didn't know, like, I don't know if anyone helped him or if he was just doing it out of what he could even comprehend. But yeah, all the plant stands, he bought me like a whole set of like beautifully wood plant stands. And it was insane. Little planters. He bought me a planter that I have somewhere. Oh, I don't have a plant in it, but let me just get it real quick. But he said, you know, you could keep my glasses on here. So I've had his glasses on here for so long, but he even wrote in the back of this, I don't know what he meant, but it says, I love you. Oh my God, the line is all the way back to the Chuck E. Cheese. So bless his heart. There was nothing that I knew that was significant with Chuck E. Cheese with him, but that's what I mean. Like, he was so, so sick. And just, you know, when you're taking that kind of medication to ease the pain, you know, you're just not really there. But he was enough there to show me so much love and commitment even after.
For those listening who haven't seen, Wade is showing a planter that has a nose and eyes on it, and the nose can have glasses on it. So that planter he got you, you keep his glasses on. What a special guy.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was his interaction with the plants while he was alive and you were collecting plants and bringing plants home every day and building what sounds like this beautiful oasis in your backyard? Was he excited, supportive? Was he like, wow, that's a lot of plants, Wade? Like, was he fully into it? Or did he kind of have to warm and get to the place where he was buying you, you know, shelves for your plants?
Yeah, I think that at first he was like, what the heck? And then I explained to him too, you know, like, I've been a caregiver. And when you're gone, Stevie, that's all going to end. And I still need to care for something. And this is kind of helping me. And it was beautiful too, like all of our friends, instead of sending like flowers for the funeral and stuff, they would send me houseplants. And I still have so many of those houseplants. But
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like New York family. It's incredible. And here I'm still friends with all of those people. And they came to Malcolm and I's wedding, you know, 4 years later, I, you know, get married to Malcolm on October 19th, and all of our New York friends, they all showed up for me, for us. And it was just so, so beautiful.
Have you ever noticed how the sound of meditation bowls at the spa or in a yoga class can instantly soothe your soul? Well, for the last 2 years, my home has felt like a meditation studio thanks to my Wind River wind chimes that I've hung on either side of my house. If you are looking to add serenity to your life in 2025 or maybe beat the winter blues, adding a Wind River wind chime might be the perfect, most joyful option for you. Every time I hear my Wind River wind chimes sing in the wind, it is an invitation for me to pause, take a deep breath, and find a moment of presence in the midst of a hectic workday. When I moved recently from New York to Florida, I literally did not feel at home until I hung my wind chimes at my new house. I was getting anxious at my new house because I hadn't hung my chimes yet and it didn't feel like home until they were there. They are not the clangy kind of grating wind chimes that you might hear in your neighbor's yard or at a garden center. Wind River wind chimes are the highest quality I've seen on the market. They're carefully tuned, beautifully designed. They come in a variety of colors, shapes, sizes, and sounds. And they make incredibly thoughtful gifts because you can actually engrave the wind sail with a special date or message. And you get a free engraving because you were a listener of Growing Joy with Plants. So beat the winter blues, explore the collection of wind chimes at windriverchimes.com and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for a free engraving to add that special unique touch to your wind chime. You will not regret it. That's windriverchimes.com. Use code GROWINGJOY at checkout. Want to grow more food with less space, less effort, and less waste, plant friends? That is the magic of square foot gardening, the world's most popular growing method to harvest more food from less space, urban to rural, garden anywhere. And this year, they've released a fully revised and updated version of square foot gardening that has new garden plans and projects for the modern gardener. So the all-new Square Foot Gardening 4th Edition is here, helping millions of gardeners grow fresh, organic produce with a simple, foolproof method. No digging, no tilling, just set up your raised bed, fill it with Mel's Mix, and plant using an easy grid system. You've definitely seen the grid online in some sort of social post. It's very popular. So this particular edition is packed with updated garden plans, crop-by-crop guides, and solutions for extreme weather and pests. Plus 200 new photos and illustrations to make planting a breeze. Whether you're new to gardening or you're a seasoned pro, this book will help you grow more, work less, and harvest the difference. So go get your copy of the all-new Square Foot Gardening 4th Edition today. It's available wherever books are sold. That's all-new Square Foot Gardening. And you honored Stephen in a really beautiful way at your wedding, didn't you?
Yes. Well, my sister-in-law, she, in our vow, she spoke about our relationship and how it led, you know, for Malcolm and I to meet as well. And Stephen's family has been such a backbone to me as well. And staying in Florida, I never had the idea that I was going to leave because of Wesley, mostly, he's now, he will be 18 in 2 weeks, but our little nephew, and back then was 14 years old, and at the funeral, wrapped his arms around me and said, "Uncle Wade, I want you to know that he will never be alone. We will always be family." And growing up gay in rural Wisconsin was really tough for me. And like, family, I felt, was so important. And they all kind of turned their back on me when I came out. I came out at a very young age. And I never experienced family, not like this. And so I knew that, like, I needed to be in Wesley's life and in Laura, that's Stephen's mom, and Stephen's sister, Meredith. I knew it was important, you know, not just for them, but for me as well. And the relationship that we have now, I mean, it was a year after Stevie passed, and I said, well, you know, I've been hiking and going to all these botanical gardens with this fella named Malcolm. And, you know, they were all from the beginning, well, we want to meet him if, you know, he makes you happy. And from the get-go, they were just open arms. And they knew, you know, they say to me all the time too, they're like, Stevie brought Malcolm into your life. Like, and all of Steven's friends were like, they would be best friends if, you know, if Stevie and them and Malcolm knew each other, you know. And I think that's very true. They're very kind people that are very similar in so many ways, but very different as well. But yeah, so it's been a beautiful journey, which is so weird to say because there is a lot of heartbreak. But yeah, and it's funny because I know Stephen has orchestrated so many of these beautiful moments with plants, because it will always be the beginning of the end of our beautiful relationship. And, you know, there's one moment that I had that picture, had the planter that Stephen bought me, the one with that put the glasses on. And I had taken this beautiful picture of my setup and used that as a banner. And there I was, you know, just like thinking, wow, what a crazy, like, here I am at a plant market selling plants, and this is life. And I turned around and I looked at the banner, and I totally did not see it when I picked it out. But there that planter was, with Stevie's glasses on, with this beautiful calathea growing out of it. And it was just, again, like one of those winks that was like, oh, that's him telling me that he's definitely here and a part of this journey still. Moving to Jacksonville, you know, like when I first said that we moved to St. Augustine, I was always like, when we visited, I was like, oh, I don't want to go to Jacksonville. It's such a big city. And so now, like, be living in Jacksonville and working in Riverside, where we would always talk about going when we were here visiting. It's just, it's insane. I can't believe that this has been the journey for me, but yeah, it's unfolded quickly.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much here. Number one, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for your vulnerability and your honesty. You are so special. You are such a special person. It's unbelievable. And of course, someone with such a beautiful heart falls in love with plants, right? Like, of course. It just all makes so much sense to me. It's interesting when we talk about connecting with people who have passed. You and I are both very spiritual, and we connect privately about our belief in the universe and our, you know, little witchy practices that we love. But I mean, I deeply agree with you that the dead are here and they're guiding us. And when you have a loss, they're still part of your story because they're on the other side, moving things around for you. And it's almost similar, like the practice of connecting to people who are on the other side is almost very similar to the practice of learning how to connect with plants. Like I say, tuning to the frequency of plants in order to understand and be receptive of, do you need water? What do you need? How can I take care of you? There's a level of belief that you have to subscribe to be able to try and communicate with this plant that can't speak English, that can't bark at you or tweet at you or scream at you like a baby. There's a similar tuning to the frequency of people who are beyond the veil, people who have passed on but are still guiding us. And it's whether or not you want to turn that channel on, you know, whether you want to flip that switch so that you can be open to receiving these beautiful messages like nature gives to us. And it also sounds like Stephen has given to you. I mean, that story of you having that aha moment, turning around, and him and his glasses are part of the banner that represents your business that you created from this period of life. I mean, gosh, like the phrase turning graves into gardens is so true here. I mean, literally, that's a figure of speech, but you literally have turned this incredibly dark period of your life into this unbelievable new life that you've built for yourself that is centered around plants. It's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And it's telling too. I mean, I remember trying hustle in New York. And Stephen would be like, you don't need to hustle so much. Magic, you're magical. Magic happens. Mm. And I've always believed that, you know, I've always, like you said, been in tune with the spiritual side. I think about that too, like in my life now as a 26-year hairdresser, veteran hairdresser. And like I said, I got married on October 19th at these beautiful gardens at the Kummer Museum in Jacksonville, Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens. And I strategically planned on growing all the tropicals in our backyard garden and cut them to be in displays on all of the 16 tables.
They looked insane. And
it was insane. It was so beautiful. And I was so proud and happy. And it was just, and I remember that morning just thinking, like, these were really grown for love. Like, this is just, it was my heart's gift to not just me, you know, for me, but for Malcolm and my friends and family. So I went to go pick them up on Monday morning. And, you know, there's 16 of these huge vases. So I was going back and forth. And I had seen out of the corner of my eye this lady who was down weeding in the gardens. And I had set my big pallet down and I said, excuse me, ma'am, how do I get a job working with you? And she looked up and she just kind of smiled and she's like, well, honey, I weed for free on Mondays. And I was like, I'm off on Mondays. That sounds like a job for me. And she's like, well, the curator of the museum, Holly, is walking around. You might see her and that's who you would speak to. And I was like, okay. And so I grab my stuff and start walking out. And sure enough, this woman with a two-piece suit comes walking out, very nicely dressed and t-shirt and gym shorts, picking up these plants. And I just thought, here's my chance. You got one chance to live, buddy. And I said, excuse me, are you Holly? And I shook her hand and put down the plants. And I said, oh, I had spoken to the volunteer who's weeding. And she had said, you are who I would need to speak to about volunteering. And we started talking a little bit and she kind of looked down and she's like, oh, these are, I said, yeah, I got married here, you know, over the weekend. And these are the arrangements that I grew in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So I would be a great volunteer.
You had your portfolio with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Just such an amazing manifestation of just loving plants and like having this dream and this passion, but God, universe, whoever we call you call them, has such a bigger plan.
Oh my gosh.
Like, just so much bigger. I mean, you've experienced this in your life, you know, like just bigger.
Yeah, beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. Like you have to let yourself be open to it. You have to like release the rigidity around what you think your life is supposed to look like to let whoever's up there stun you.
And so Holly had says, well, yeah, we have this volunteer program, but we're also looking to hire a full-time gardener. And right away, you know, the negative self-talk and you're like, I couldn't be a, do I have the qualifications for this? But then I'm like, I have a plant business. I sell plants. I had sold out workshops all throughout the summer, you know, have this plant podcast where I'm talking to professionals that I'm learning from as well. So I said, okay, I'll meet you. And the rest is pretty much history. And I got hired.
I realized that you got married at the gardens that you're working at. That is the most magical story I have ever heard.
So when I'm calling my friends and saying, oh my God, I have this job at these gardens, like they were all there. They had all experienced
exactly what you're talking about.
The magic of this beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah. So.
Wow.
And the gardens are historic. I mean, historic. You know, we have the Olmsted Garden and the garden architects for Central Park, the gardens at the White House. The same men created these gardens here at the Kummer Museum. It's insane. Nina Kummer, you know, back in the 30s or 40s, I believe, traveled to Italy and then came back to Jacksonville and had an architect create a whole Italian garden right there on the St. John's River. It's just, it's insane. I pinch myself every morning. I walk out and get to watch the sunrise over the river and these gardens. It's just, it's magical. Yeah.
I want to go back for a minute and talk a little bit more about plants as your therapeutic tool. So did your relationship with plants change before and after you lost Steven? Like, what was that like? Was there a change?
Yeah, there was a change. In the midst of everything, I remember I would sit in the plant room for hours because Stevie would just be sleeping, you know, and there would be a hospice nurse there too. So I would just sit in the plant room and just bawl and just allowed myself to just be loved by the plants. And it was a very small space, but I had hundreds of plants on the wall and it was curated pretty beautifully for the small space, but it was just like a magic oasis, you know? And I remember the first day after Stevie died and I just sat out there and I was just like, the craziest thing is I don't feel alone because I'm surrounded by all of this beauty and all of these plants. And this will now be my mission to try to keep all of these plants alive. And that was also a good lesson. You know, it's grief comes in ebbs and flows. Like there, it's a guest that you don't want to see at your door, you know, and sometimes they go away and you don't really have to worry about them. But then they'll knock on that door. And I went through months where I was like, I didn't even want to get out of bed or take care of myself. So I didn't water any of the plants and lost hundreds of plants and then had to go through this. It's so funny to think about it. When I first started dating Malcolm or hanging out with Malcolm, my whole patio was filled with dead plants. And I was like, no, you can't go out there. And I was so embarrassed and so angry at myself too, that I just let these beautiful plants, so many of these beautiful plants die. But it also was a lesson to just give myself grace that I couldn't even take care of myself at that moment. So how can I take care of plants? And yeah, that relation also has been one of highs and lows with plants. And that's what I think from coming from a hobbyist to more of a collector and was like, okay, well, yeah, I do want to keep that at the time $200 Monstera alive and learning the tools and techniques. And so that changed for me with my plant journey to realizing like, yeah, you can't just buy a very simple plant and just throw it out at, you know, the drop of the hat because you're not feeling good. But I also think there's something to be said, you know, that in moments in our life, it's okay to not be okay.
We are allowed to have seasons just like our plants are.
Yeah.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, That drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Take, plant friends, there is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free plant parent personality test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
And we are allowed to have a winter. We are allowed to have the fall of the leaves falling off the trees, you know? Our society doesn't value that and wants to hide from that. But we have our seasons in equal measure for a reason. Well, not in Florida, but seasons are supposed to be in equal measure for a reason. Or if we look at the moon, you know, the moon moves through its cycles every month.
Yeah.
You can't just have a full moon or a new moon for the entire year. You would have a really fucked up tide system, you know? So I think that's very interesting. And also, like, allowing your plants to hold your grief. I suffered a big loss last year. And I remember we were in Florida and we went to the beach and I like gave my grief to the ocean and to the sand. Like, nature is so powerful and she can hold it. You know, she can hold it where sometimes our nervous systems can't. And I think that beautiful, I mean, heartbreaking, but beautiful image and thought of you sitting with your plants and bawling and allowing them to just kind of like witness you. And also that what you said so beautifully, not being alone.
Yeah. Well, and it's really what it's felt like, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so beautiful.
And, you know, I just want to say one other thing about
the
TED plants is that, you know, instead of Malcolm being judgmental, he was inquisitive. And he was like, well, let me see that. And he even gave me so much grace to say, you know, Wade, these are their plants and plants live and die as well. And you cannot hold the weight of the world for these plants on your shoulders. And it's interesting. After he, you know, said that, I allowed myself to release that shame and anger at myself. And there I was cleaning up those plants and was like, okay, I have 100 pots that I need to refill. And, you know, I slowly took care of those pots, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have a lot of people, or I've spoken to a lot of listeners at this point over my 8 years, of people who get really emotionally attached to plants because they were given to them for a funeral. So my grandma's funeral, I got this peace lily and it dropped all of its leaves and I don't know what to do. But sometimes when there's an emotional attachment to a plant, the stakes get so high that now that's a really stressful moment. And I can imagine if these were the plants that were around when Stephen was around and you wanting to be attached to not being able to let go of them. But the reframe of plants can die, they're just plants. And also these plants were a part of my life when I needed them. They were able to hold my grief when I needed it. And it's okay. I can let go of that. Just like I can let go of some of this grief as I'm moving on or moving forward with someone else. You know, the grief, the other thing is grief is always a part of you. It never leaves. It might be a friend that visits less and less, you know, but when you experience a trauma like that, it stays with you. And the experiences that you had with those plants in those moments when you needed them will also stay with you forever as well, even if those plants aren't with you anymore.
And that's the beauty of social media as well. Now I have this very curated journal of those moments and I can look back and see, wow, these plants really were beautiful, you know?
Totally. You have been such a beautiful community builder on social media in the plant community. So how has that, I mean, thank you for sharing your experience. I'm so sorry you had such a difficult experience at home coming out. That is, I wish I could hug you. I wish I was there for that so I could have been your bodyguard or something. But family, community is obviously so important to you. You value it. You have your chosen family in New York, like you talked about. You have your family, Steve's family. You've done such a beautiful job cultivating community in the plant community. So what has that looked like? And when did your relationships with people in the plant community start, before or after losing Steve?
A little bit before. I was starting to look up hashtags of plant things and realizing that there was this community. I thought people used Instagram for fashion.
Right. And what? Hair.
People use, yeah.
I had
people talk about plants, you know?
I had more experience than you. Yeah. It was like this whole world. I like typed in hashtag houseplant and this whole world like opened up to me. And I was just like, wait, I'm not alone. I'm not a total weirdo because I'm so obsessed with plants.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because like Wesley, even back then, he's like, well, you need to get a TikTok for plants. And I'm like, TikTok for like, no, like the Instagram is fine. And now here, you know,
here we are. I think
I've had my TikTok for 6 months now. And I'm like, where have I been all this time? Like, I could have really been posting on Plant Talk. But yeah, so that, you know, social media has really helped to build that gap for other plant people who get it like I get it, like you get it, you know? It's much more than just a hobby. And when you connect with those people, there's this spark and there's this interest. And I realized too that I'm like, wow, I might feel a little bit alone in this space in Florida because I'm new here and I don't know anyone. But even through that, I got involved with local plant people and Michelle, who very earnestly, every time we saw each other, would be like, you need to start a plant business. You need to get your nursery license. And she was my plant dealer and would deliver plants in between Stephen's hospital visits. So we'd be like, okay, well, I'm home for an hour. And she's like, I'm coming right now, and have her truck filled with like 8 plants that I had purchased through Instagram.
I love that.
So then we became, you know, fast friends as well, and would have dinner at her house and with her family. And she changed my life. Like, she's the whole reason that I did Plants by Wavely LLC and even thought the capacity of even making it a business, let alone being a full-time gardener. You know, she really definitely was the segue into that world. But I'm going to PlantCon next weekend and I am going to be able to meet so many of these people that, like you, that we've, you know, DM'd on the side to share those special moments and what plants have meant for us in hard times. So it's going to be really fun to really connect people with people this weekend. I mean, so many. Lindsay, my friend in California, it will be so great to see her. And, you know, this plant community is vast, but also very tight-knit as well. So there's going to be hundreds of people to take pictures with and hug and laugh.
And show pictures of your plants too, and who actually care about the pictures of your plants on your phone, when the people sometimes in your real life don't really care about the pictures of plants on your phone. I want to ask you one more question about grief, as for anyone who's listening here who needs help, who's in a moment of transition. You shared how you would just sit with hours for with your plants. Were there any other practices that you did? I love this idea of painting pots together, of doing crafts. I love this. Are there other things that you did either with Stephen or by yourself before he passed or after he passed, like processes, habits, even maybe just like metaphors that really helped you move through that period of time?
Yeah, tarot and oracle cards, I think, were a big part of my practice to just kind of open the segue to healing. In the beginning, I was like, I was a caregiver and we knew that this was going to happen. So I'm not really in pain. And that was the biggest lie, the biggest front. And it wasn't till months later that there I was, you know, and I think that's the piece of advice that I would give to someone who is in the middle of their grief. And in the moments, you sometimes just have to be in that grief and be in that moment and allow it to swallow you whole. But I think that was the beautiful thing, that I would allow myself to be in that void, but be surrounded by something that some people use crystals and some people go to the beach. I as well would go early in the morning and just sit there with an oracle deck. And one time I remember on the beach, it was still very kind of twilighty and it was kind of dark, but you could see. And I was just sitting there listening to waves and I had my eyes closed and I was crying, like doing a meditation. And I felt this like, and I was like, ah! And I looked down and it is a bird on my arm sitting there. I have what? This on Instagram. Yes. Cause like I have a video of it on Instagram. The bird literally, and I thought, okay, this is weird. He just went, you know, like he just kind of hit me and then got. The bird jumped off and just like sat there with me. And I was just like in deep meditation. And I just like, okay, this isn't coincidence. This is maybe, you know, one of my spirit guides or what have you. But it was definitely a moment I will never forget. So, you know, it's in those moments that you really realize that you are aligned with not just your healing, but your spiritual practice, and that it's not just woo-woo and crazy, because that bird literally sat there with me for moments. And I was just, and he was just hopping around and then just flew off. And I just thought, wow, this is just such a special moment to feel caressed by the universe.
Well, and I think you bring up a point that you can connect with nature. Nature is the nervous system regulator. Nature is what is going to help us. Nature is who we can give our grief to. Nature is many different things. So it can be engaging with your houseplants and sitting with your houseplants. It can be going to the beach. It could be going to the woods. It could be sitting in the desert. It could be a bird. It could be bird song. It could be the sound of water rushing. Like there are so many different ways that we can tune our ears to that frequency of nature in order to allow for the healing to come in. And that bird, you know, I'm a crazy bird lady. I'm like so jealous of that experience. But yeah, I think that's really, really potent and beautiful. And you're so magical. You're so magical. And what does Malcolm think of your plants?
He loves them. I mean, he obviously thinks I'm a bit obsessed, but he's obsessed with Pokemon. So if he can have Pokemon obsession,
gotta catch them all. It's the same. The curious collector plant parent. Their motto is gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh my God. So he can have his Pokemons and you can have all your plants.
Yeah, but he wooed me in the beginning by going to botanical gardens. Like, he's definitely into nature, and so we have great times exploring different gardens around Florida, because there are many.
Yeah, so many. Also, it's nice to be able to have shared passions with your partner, and it's also nice to have your own thing. it's so nice that he supports it. Billy definitely supports my passion for plants, but like Billy's not watering my plants. You know, Billy's not trying to propagate my Monstera, you know, but he's here. He's all he has to do is be supportive, you know, all
or hitching a ride with you to Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. Or benefiting.
Because I was like, do you want to come to PlantCon?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, they're having this beautiful reception. I could get one ticket. Like, nope. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
The first time I spoke at Cultivate, Billy came, and then he's passed on all my other opportunity, my other planting opportunities. He's like, you go be with your people, Maria. It's cool. I'll catch you later. But it's nice when you have that free hotel room. He can come to Orlando and go to Disney World or something while you're there. But that's beautiful. Wade, you're so special. And sadly, grief is something that we will all move through at points in our life, at different scales, at different capacities. And how lucky are we that we have plants to help us? And I'm so thankful that you shared your story. I think a lot of people are going to see their story in you. I know I've heard many stories from our community that plants have been such a beautiful healing tool. And you are such a beautiful healer, my friend. And you are such a beautiful plant person. So you have many facets of your business and your own podcast, which I've been a guest on before. So tell us where we can find you.
Anywhere that you listen to your podcast, you can find it. Plants by Wade Lee. It's a lot of just talking with other plant personalities, authors, horticulturists. So it's a fun time. It's just like a little plant chat for about 45 minutes, which is so fun though, because as you know, interviewing people, like we are so much more than our plants as well. And I've learned so many just cool things about so many plant people that I'm like, what? This is insane. You do this? Like,
I'm even thinking like, wait, what? You had a hair Instagram and did the hair for the Met Gala? Like, what are you talking about?
I know, right?
People with me, they're like, wait, you were on Broadway? What are you talking about? You know, like we are so much more than our plants. So I do love that format for your podcast. And it's so good. And then for people who are in the Jacksonville area, your Plants by Wade Lee business, where can they catch you there?
Definitely go to my social media, Plants by Wade Lee, and that we'll have a list of, I do all sorts of markets in the area from St. Augustine, St. John's County, Gainesville. I'm doing a really big plant. It's a plant swap and sale at Swamp Head Brewery. And this place has like hundreds of brews on tap. And it's right on the swamp. There's alligators in the swamp, right? While you're drinking your beer and selling the plants. Yeah, but there's usually like 30, 40 vendors, and it's a really fun time. So definitely check out the Instagram. That's also where the workshops will be. And if you live in Jacksonville and you come to the Cumber Museum Art and Gardens, make sure to look for me in the gardens and say hello, because I love to see fellow plant people stop in.
That's amazing. I can't wait to come. I've got to trek out to Jacksonville and traipse around with you a little bit. You are so special, such a beautiful part of this community. So thankful for you. And yeah, everybody go check Wade out. All of his links are in the show notes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your kindness. You've been so sweet to me, and I really appreciate it, Maria.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You're a real one. I could spot the real ones from a mile away, and you're one of them. So my pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you again to Wade for being so vulnerable and open in this beautiful conversation. I hope that this episode finds you in a time where it is very supportive for you. Wade is such a special soul. You should go follow him. All of his links, his social, all of that is in the show notes today. I hope this episode helped, and it is, you know, a constant reminder of how plants are so much more than a hobby. They're so much more than a visual aesthetic in a home. They are a wellness tool. They are an opportunity for self-care. And Wade is a great example of that. So until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, it takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're gonna get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant care is self-care on Grow.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.